Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you let nothing
Friday night is the Black Business Billionaire Network Club. Say that 10 times for a tongue twister. Black, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. The Black Billionaire Business Billionaire Network Club is hard to say about 5 or 10 times. But here we are Friday night, people, and it's a joyous occasion. We got a special show for you tonight. Hopefully, possibly, my brother, my friend, our brother beloved, Reverend Curtis Blow Walker, will come on tonight and say some humbling words about the passing of our brother, Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Felder, who passed away, was a good friend that grew up with Reverend Curtis Blow and the New York City areas. And, you know, he passed, and he was a good friend of Reverend Curtis Blow Walker. And you know Reverend Curtis Blow. Curtis Blow, you know, these are the breaks. And so hopefully he'll come on and say some kind words about Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Felder. And we look forward to that. We're also going to talk about jobs, employment, and careers. What is the difference between a job, employment, and career? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to continue the discussion of the economic depravity, racism in America, and how it came about and what it's all about. And we're going to have a discussion with our co-host with the most, the man with the plan, the brother like no other, I call him my brother from another mother. He's a very important person to me and a very important person to you because he got so much to offer. God has blessed him with so many talents. Let's bring on our brother. Let's bring him on. Give him a nice little, you know how we do it here at the Black Business Billionaire Network Club. Come on, people.
Yeah. 1-2-1-2. How y'all doing?
1-4-1-4. You getting a fan club here, man. You developing yourself a fan club. They
hey,
love
man.
You, brother.
Man, they love us, man. And what they're going to realize from the shows is that this is what community is about, being able to network and build network, you know, and to be able to share and build each other as well as helping to build a community. And with that, I think everybody should give themselves a round of applause just for tuning in and listening because they deserve that, man. You know, they're getting good information. So everybody give yourselves a round of applause. That's out of all of y'all. That's out of all of y'all, man. You know, it's just funny, man. I just feel good, man, because I feel good today. You know, I learned a valuable lesson, man, about just life, period, man, just being able to not be so hard on ourselves and to take things one step at a time and to have a form of serenity and the aspect of don't look backwards, look forward, but don't worry about what's in the near future, but worry about what you can do today, and your tomorrow will be better. You know, just work towards being a better person and being and us for us to be a greater person and a greater you, you know, for everyone, you know. So that's what it's about, man. Life is about contributing goodness into society and to ourselves and to everyone that we pass in this journey called life. So what do you have to offer, Dr. Robinson? What's on your agenda today, man? What are we working with?
Well, man, I'm looking for Reverend Curtis Blow Walker. Everybody know Reverend Curtis Blow. Everybody know Curtis Blow. These are the breaks. I expect for him to come on. We're going to do an honorary show tonight. Going to spend some time talking about Dr. Reverend Emmanuel Felder, who grew up with Curtis Blow back in New York City, and he passed away. And we want to get some honor to him. There is a GoFundMe page. Family, you know, family, this pandemic season, wife and kids are struggling, you know, and we want to try to raise some money for his burial, as well as support his family as well, you know. And so Reverend Curtis Blow Walker is coming on tonight, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. I know he's busy. He's doing a show up in California. He's going to try to do the breaks, you know, the time frame in California and here is different. But he's going to try to take a break and come in and, you know, say some few words about our Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Felder and his passing. Yeah. And he's compassionate for him and, you know, what kind of brother he was and a brother beloved. He really tried to do things for the community as well. Another young brother in the ministry. So we're going to try to have that done as well.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you know, the difference between, I hear people say jobs just over, people say jobs just over broke. Then they say employment and then they say careers. And you are a very intelligent person. I want to ask you, what is the difference between a job, employment, and a career?
In my experience, a career is something that creates a lifelong change in terms of it involves your life. It involves what you're going to do for the rest of your life. A career is something usually in the power of the individual's hands in terms of what how they see themselves. It's like almost like a resume or assessment. And normally a person asks themselves, they say, okay, a job. Let's say prime example. My job may be a person who takes something that I'm not really qualified or I don't really prefer, but it's a job. It's a job. You can make a career out of a job. For example, if a person takes a job at McDonald's, they may start off as a janitorial engineer, and then they may say, I want a career in terms of being a franchise owner. So now they work their way up to now to the fries, and they work their way up to the cashier, and they work their way up to learn everybody's position in terms of employment, in terms of trying to get the manager spot so that they can manage and be able to create jobs and control the franchises. And that's, to me, what the manager division position would be considered a career, in terms of not only is he a manager, but he owns the franchise, and he or she is able to now develop the ability to be a manager. This is their career. This is the career of choice. They didn't just settle for just one level. They worked their way up. So in terms of answering the question, career is more or less, in my opinion, a choice to elevate or choice to move up the ladder, and wherever they may see themselves in the where they're at in their life, and they choose to say, hey, I want to move up. It's like the Jeffersons, you know, it comes from one level, and they move up economically to say, hey, listen, I want better. I want to own chain stores instead of just one business. I want to move up. This is not just a job for me, but this is the livelihood. So that's basically, we're thinking in terms of career, and career defines the livelihood in terms of the projection, the manner of how an individual sees themselves in 5, 10, 15 years, if they are given, God willing, or blessed with life to see that. It's a matter of how they see themselves in terms of if they were to be deceased, if they need medical benefits, their contribution for change, for their future, for a better future, for tomorrow, to say what they do today, to say, hey, today I'm going to learn about this so that I work my way up to become this manager, to be the president, the vice president, the CEO, and hopefully international business and so on and so forth, on and on and on. As opposed to a job, I may just work in the mailroom, and this is my job, and it works for me. I mean, I'm comfortable with it. It's a job. You have white-collar jobs. You have blue-collar jobs. But in terms of career, you have different levels of white-collar and blue-collar professions. So in terms of the career, we're looking at the title of her profession. But mostly, the point that I'm making is that careers deal with the assessment of how to view or how to make a projection of how you see yourself in the actual circle that the person is in, as opposed to the job. A person may just see themselves as being content with the situational condition that they're in. So that's my spill on that. I mean, you happy to intervene. Anybody can intervene on that. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Nothing I can add, nothing I can subtract, nothing I can mix it in and make a salad. You just done it perfect, yeah. Brother. You explained that very well. And shout out to Brother Willard Walker out in New Jersey.
Yeah, shout out to Willard Walker.
Newark, New Jersey. What he did was, he did exactly what you said. He was a janitor at this high school where he first started working as a janitor. Went back to school and got his master's degree. Came back and worked as a math teacher in the school, and brother,
wow.
Guess what? Now he is the principal.
Wow.
And that's amazing.
Wow.
And exactly what you said. You put it perfect,
that's,
brother.
Wow.
He went there
that's
as a
amazing.
Job. Did what I'm saying? Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
He went there as
yes.
a job.
Yeah.
He looked around
yeah,
and he good. Saw some things that he wanted to do. So he decided to go and become a teacher. I really skipped some things. He went and got his bachelor's, became a teacher, went back to school, and then got his master's, and went back, and then he became the principal of the school as well. And the same thing that Brother Shalik explained to y'all, he went there as a job, doing the sanitation, what they call it, janitorial, you know.
Janitorial engineer,
sanitation
engineer.
I tell you, I got the best co-host in the world. Ain't nobody better than him.
You can't just clean. See, when you turn the job into an adventure, you just can't be a cleanup man. You have to know that wherever God places us, God has given us the gift to make it better, because this is what God does. He works on us to make us better. So I can't just be a person that's a janitor. I have to be a sanitation engineer. And, you know, a lot of people don't hear that, but that makes it more professional when people say, wait,
you better ask somebody.
Right, right.
But
yeah,
that's perfect, brother. It's perfect. And Brother Willard Walker did exactly what you said. He went there as a job, wife and two kids, and I guess ended up with wife and four kids, but he went there as a job. He looked around. He saw a place for him, and he got his degree and went and became a teacher, and then he went and got his, became the principal, and now he's on the way to his career. Just like a Brother Shalik explained to y'all, job, employment, career. The brothers stepped up from the janitorial to the teacher, and then now he's the principal. And that's his career. That's fantastic. Just the way Brother Shalik explained to y'all, and that goes to show you, it's all right to start from the bottom. You know, people look at me now and say, oh, you're doing this, this. I started at the bottom. My father had five businesses. And when I was 15, you know, when you're young, you got all these ideas in your head. You know, my father got this and that. He's going to make me the president of the company, you know. And I said, Dad, I want to work with you. And I went down to, I love cars. Me, my father, and my youngest son got that in common. We love cars. I love cars. I just love every kind of luxury, sports car, Porsche, Maserati, Rolls Royce. I just love cars. I'm a collector, you know. My wife said, get that junk out of here. I said, no, this is a perfect car. But my dad, when I started, and I was 15, I said, you know, I'm going to work with my father. You know, I started college at 15, so I said, I'm smart. I'm sure he's going to give me some big position. And he threw me the rag. And he said, boy, go downstairs and wash them cars. Because that limousine company. And I felt like, wow, you know, that's what he thinks of me, just to wash cars. And I went down there and I washed cars, because when I grew up, whatever your parents told you, you just move and do it. You didn't ask no questions. So I went there and I started washing the cars. And for about 2 months, I was washing cars. And I'm like, you know, what's up with this? You know, I think I'm going to quit and get me a job somewhere else. And my father came to me 2 months later. He said, let me tell you something. He said, don't you know this is where I started? I started washing cars. And he said, I worked my way up. He said, when you own a business, he said, make sure you can run that business from the bottom to the top. He said, that's where you start. I said, now, he said, at this point where you're at right now, you understand something about this limousine business. Like the drivers coming in complaining, you know, about different customers and things like that, things they didn't hear, the car is not working correctly. You know, you hear a lot of stuff down here, what's going on. While you're washing the cars, you see the body, you see the tires, you see the, you know, you're looking at the car, you're observing the car. A lot of times the mechanics downstairs open it up, you get to look and see what's going on. He said, sometimes, son, you have to be able to do everything in the business. He said, if somebody don't show up, he said, I can come down here and wash a car. If a mechanic don't show up, he said, I'm not a total mechanic, but there's certain things that I can fix. There's certain things I can change. There's certain oils and brakes, you know, certain things I can do, minor things. He said, if somebody don't come in and there is a schedule to pick somebody up to do a job, he said, I can go and do that job as well. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, you know, every aspects of the business, you know, be prepared that you can do everything that's needed to do just in case you have to do it. Because as a business owner now, I didn't appreciate, you know, I didn't really understand it back then at that age. But as a business owner now and the business I'm in, and I'm the first person to get in the morning and I'm the last person to leave at night, I understand what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I thank you tremendously, Dr. Robinson, because listen, with this with the project that we're dealing with in terms of Project Neo .org and Clickstitch, but definitely with MyProjectNeo.org, me utilizing social media as a way to create links and advertising expression. It's crazy because I've developed a skill called which is funny because You gave me, you helped me out in terms of giving me a position for public relations. I've actually looked at it in terms of, I said, wow, this has given me an opportunity to become what they call a creative marketing consultant, because I have to now invent new ways to strategize my message in terms of getting the word out. Because social media, if people don't even realize, I face a challenge even with Facebook, and I'm going to put them on the air, I'm going to put them on blast. So I just want to let the ladies and gentlemen and all the youth know that with all of the booty shaking and all of the nonsense and nonsense streaming, even streamers are blackballing me for marketing and advertising to myprojectneo.org and Clix's advertising. They are actually taking me off the air. They're blackballing me, and I'm telling them they're shutting me down, and I'm letting everybody know, yes, if you do have something for the people, the streaming apps and things that I need to Facebook are scrutinizing what actually what they feel is helpful or beneficial for them. They feel like the advertisements, they're not getting anything from it, and so I have to reshape and mold the way I am advertising and choose different words and to circumvent the advertisement. I can't just say Clixes. I can't just say My Project Neo. What I've been doing, I give everyone opportunity to hear the example. And for those who may be listening, yes, anyone who is on the Big Shot Reed page has noticed a big stream of downloads in terms of links to myprojectneo.com. myprojectneo.org and clixes.com/31880. So what I've been doing is creative marketing in terms of rephrasing what I'm saying in terms of just providing the information. I've been asking questions. I say, has anyone ever heard of, this is an example, I say, has anyone ever heard of a new way that companies are doing business, are offering free incentives? And then when I pose the question, everybody's like, well, why is he asking that? And then I say, it pays to play. Try Clixes out. And I'll put my /31880, and you know, I'll ask someone. It only takes a push of a button. Check it out and see for yourself how companies are reinventing how they handle business, and they're giving out free incentives to consumers. Check it out, and then I'll say with My Project Neo, has anyone ever heard of a community economic building program that can help you to receive incentives based on a small contribution of $5 and less than $10, and there's a question there. And then the next thing you know, people will compliment me in terms of, they say, you know, I'll get a lot of shout-outs, and people will say, hey, man, that's a good thing that you're doing. But then some people, like I've recently got people texting me saying, please don't, what you're doing is good, but please don't add my name. To, like, if they give me a shout-out, I always give the person a shout-out and say, like, shout-out to so-and-so for looking into the myprojectneo.org, and at least someone on the social media is checking it out. And then they'll write back and say, excuse me, save your advertising for your page. And I said, wow, it's deep. And then I also posted something in on social media saying, no wonder why people have poverty of the mind. And no wonder why corporations are getting away with what they get away with. Right. This is the reason. See, poverty is a condition that starts first with the mind. And when the person thinks poorly, they create poor decisions, create poor habits. And it's like an infectious disease. And they say a disease. And it's also a form of retardation. If anybody goes and looks in the dictionary, check out the word retard. When a person is retarded, it's not to downgrade or downplay that, but being in a state of retardation, it's basically a state of condition where individuals stunt their growth. You know, they're no longer growing. They're at a state of they're retarding their growth. So my whole concept is that this is what's happening. Because this is the challenge, right? With all of the lust and all of the nonsense, people are talking nonsense. And people like good things. People, it's just like in the Bible. People love, they loved Jesus, but they wasn't willing to bear their cross. See, they loved what the devil offered as well, the pleasurable sensations of feeling good. I want to feel good. I want to feel as though,
interesting,
you know, but right. So I just wanted to just not dwell on it,
wow,
but I just wanted to say that
it's
in the
interesting
process. Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's, I don't want to. I want you to complete your thought as well. I don't want to cut your thought off.
Look, give me one second. Yeah, I was just
okay
saying basically.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm glad you talked about clusters. I'm glad you talked about those opportunities like that, that people can take advantage of, an opportunity to have a residual income, an extra income, and don't have to go out there and get another 8-hour job and make money equal to that. And we want to give the man himself to come on and he can content with you in terms of what you're going through with social media to get the clicksters word out there. And now we're going to bring on the man himself. We call him Professor Gregory Hall, and he has so many programs. We're going to bring him on and let him talk about it.
All right, let's get it together, brothers and sisters. Let's get it together and let us reap more. Just as Reverend Dr. Robinson was saying, okay, when he told his dad, you know, he wanted to work with him, you know, he started at the bottom. He said, okay, here's a rag, wash these cars. Now, what happens is a lot of times, to flip it, many of us miss the forest for the trees. In other words, we don't want the small beginning, but not realizing that sometimes the small beginning can be the pathway to the big end. All right, you start small, you end up big. Now, I have to say this about the clusters, because a lot of people are writing it off and they are making a big mistake. What Clixus is doing, and this is extremely rare, they are actually paying you. It's like someone standing out on the corner handing out $5 bills. It is not a lot of money. Now, I just did a video about what I call magical $5 bills. And what makes it magical is because Clixus is about positioning, about building a downline, or as I like to call it, an infrastructure. All right, and that's one of the things I love about network marketing, because we can build a massive group. So if we want to do a particular project and we want to start a hospital in our neighborhoods, if you've got several million people as part of the organization, it becomes much easier to just pool a few dollars together. And if you want to raise $10 million, $20 million, you've got a strong membership. Clixus is actually paying you to get in position, to build a downline. Okay, you recommend five people who recommend five people who recommend five people. And the real deal is that you already have that infrastructure. If you are involved in any type of social media, you've got five friends, right, who have five friends who have five friends. Now, even though the initial money, okay, it's only $5. It's not a lot of money. But I must say it's $5 per person. All right. So if you come in with 10 people, you got $50 coming. But the idea is that you are building something that could be extremely valuable. You are building that infrastructure, and that opens up the windows for multiple streams of income. In other words, there are hundreds of network marketing opportunities where if you have a downline, you will get paid. All right, so you can get paid from Primerica and Moroccanet, and you know, there's so many. Organo Gold, I could easily sit here and name 20 different internet marketing opportunities, referral marketing, telefriend marketing. So don't make the mistake of writing it off because the initial payment is small. You have to look at the big picture in terms of what you can build. And as I have been suggesting on my show, let's say you get five people, you got $25 coming, you have more than enough to say, look, Put me into the self-reparations program. Take it out of my $25, all right? Put me into this crime case opportunity. Take it out of my $25, and you'll still have some money left over. But in the process, you have started the ball rolling for multiple. That's three streams of income right there. Clicksters, self-reparations, the Tron opportunity. All right, so just, you know, when Salik sends you the link, just join. You know, no, you don't, it doesn't cost you anything, and share it.
Now, we were talking earlier about Walker Willett from New Jersey, who started off 10 years ago at a high school as a janitor engineer, cleaning up the school, and he saw an opportunity to take courses and become a teacher. After he became a teacher, he went and got another course and got his master's in education, and he came back and became the principal of the school. And I see that as what you're saying, that you come in, you get your foot wet, you learn people. One of the important things that people don't understand about these opportunities that Professor Gregory Hall is offering you, it's a process of learning. Most people say, oh, I don't talk to nobody. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't go out like that. You know, every people got all these rejections of why they cannot do multi-level marketing because they don't want to communicate with others. But Professor Gregory Hall is saying, okay, start small. Okay, get in, get your foot wet, see where you at, because you might be better than what you think. You might have the best skills to talk to people and to get people interested, and you never know. There's some people that are the life of the party. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There are some people, parties do not start until they walk into the door. And sometimes they're the most introverted people that you can find. But when they get to the party, they light up, and they light up the room, and they have good communication skills, and they have good jokes, and people just joy to, they just a joy to be around. And sometimes the same people that said, I don't talk to nobody, I don't get out and do anything, are the same people that have that quality to bring joy to a room with just their smile, just their jokes, and just their presence. And a lot of people don't know that, Professor Gregory Hall. A lot of people don't know their skills until they get involved into something. And then they find out, you know, that they're very skillful, you know, or they are teachable and coachable that they can learn. So people, is, you know, if it's free, it's not costing you nothing, you're learning a great value, you know what I'm saying, you're learning a lot, it's taking you to another level, and that's a part of it also, the part of learning. Teaching something and learning something is incredible. That's one of the biggest things in society, is teaching somebody. The most influential person in your life is your pre-K, first grade, second grade, and going up to the 12th grade teachers, because they're molding you for life and life success. And so when you get into a Clicksters, you're learning. You're starting from the bottom. You're starting with something safe. You're starting with no money. You're not losing nothing. But you're getting your foot wet, you're getting experience, you're getting out there, you started, you know, doing something. And a young lady said the other night, Harina Walk Owens said, you know, once you get out into these jobs, the job market, the job environment, you learn about so many other things while you're out there that you can do. So it's Gregory, it's a, you know, it's a necessity to get out there and do something, you know. I always say, if you want to be a thousandaire, a millionaire, or a billionaire, you got to start somewhere, you know, if you want for you to climb up.
Right. And Reverend Ron, see, the real deal is that these days with videos, you do not have to be, you know, articulate. You don't have to be a salesman. The videos do the selling and the telling. So the mentality must be the same way I would get on Facebook and share a funny picture, tell a joke, share a recipe, share some economic. All you got to do is just send the link, play the numbers game, you know, and hopefully the light will go off and the person sitting there realize, you know, if I keep doing this, I'm going to build something that could put a lot of money in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And It doesn't cost anything. The video, let the videos do the selling and the telling and just play the numbers game. You know, just say, look, I don't want to explain it, but here, check it out. Join is free. Don't cost you nothing. And tell all your friends to do likewise. And you will
now, Shalik,
get paid.
Amen. Shalik has some unique ways. Shalik has some unique ways that he was promoting through social media, the Clicksters. Shalik, talk a little bit about your skillful way that you started promoting it.
Maybe I can't figure it out. Dr. Robinson.
I wanted you to tell you had some neat, unique ways that you were promoting Clicksters on social media, and I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, those unique ways you were telling us how you was exposing Clicksters to the social media.
Right. And so basically what I come to realize is that sometimes, man, see, first of all, let me thank all of you guys at Neo Nation, you, Dr. Robinson, and Mr. Hall, all doctors to me, and basically, you know, Dr. Winborn.
He's a professor.
And... All right, he's a professor. But overall, I just wanted to basically say, I found both projects, the myprojectneo.org and the clicksters.com, to be both million dollar products. I mean, most companies, as I explained to you and both Mr. Hall, I stated that most of the companies, if a person is not sponsored by a major corporation to promote their brand, they receive certain incentives, and a lot of people walk around with stylish clothes and brand name brand items and don't get a dime from the companies. They wear these items every day, and most of the items that they wear do nothing for their community. Did you hear me, Dr. Robinson?
Yes.
Right. So I think I wanted to emphasize that in terms of my ability to see the wealth in both brands in terms of what they're doing for the community and how people can attach themselves to things and corporations that are doing something for the community. And a lot of times people don't see the value in that because they look at it like they may not have time to contribute. But with the Clicksters and myprojectneo.org, both of these brands, I come to realize, I said, hey, these brands are so unique in the aspect that they sponsor the individual and they show a unique quality in the aspect that anyone who is an entrepreneur or an aspiring entrepreneur can actually build themselves through these brands, because the brands themselves are helping the community. They're helping the community, and they can actually create a platform commercial-wise, small commercials, or even if they're on Facebook, even if they're making these little video clips or whatever, they can actually use this to help someone who is a follower of them, someone who knows them, just as well as Mr. Hall said, network marketing. And a lot of people don't understand the concept of branding. They don't understand the concept of network. But we use networks, network marketing, affiliate marketing all the time, especially in the neighborhoods that we come from in terms of the urban community. People network in terms for bad. I bet you right now, if I wanted to know who got the best rap album in the neighborhood, over 10 people, I may not even know them. I can mention Pop Smoke right now. For all of those that's listening, if I say Pop Smoke and I said this is we're going to spend an hour dedicated to Pop Smoke, I have 1,000 callers calling in from all over the boroughs, maybe from LA all the way to Germany and Japan. They'll be calling in. And that's the power of network marketing. The brand in itself, people see value in the name of Pop Smoke.
but they're not receiving no type of income from spreading the word of Pop Smoke. But here it is, if you say My Project Neo and you say Clixbiz, people, the first thing, what's that? What's that? And I say, hey, listen, one, Clixbiz is providing a $5 free money. It costs you nothing. You're getting free money from corporations to just for 10 minutes of your time that you would normally spend and get no incentive for it. You're not receiving anything for your time. We could talk for 10 minutes. We spend most of the time right now on the show, and we can talk for 10 minutes. And people call in and they'll listen. And they're benefiting because they're getting information. The information that is given, that they're receiving, is information that's key to understanding finances. It's creating an educational platform for understanding how finances work. And we spend pennies of a dollar of a day, and those pennies add up. And it is true. If you can save 3 pennies or you double your pennies every day, you can become a millionaire within a year. And a lot of people don't understand how much pennies are worth in terms of the investment. And many people don't get anything out of their investment. So this is what I'm saying in terms of being creative, being able to spread the word. I've developed out those. I am developing those techniques because the challenges, I wouldn't be able to develop them if they were easy. So within the aspect of working and trying to develop the creative mindset, the creative ability, I've come to find within the English language that I can say certain things and it's not harmful. I'm not a scammer. I'm not doing anything to try to swindle anyone. I'm providing it. But you know what it is? People been hurt so much that they, you know, when you try to feed them, the first thing, I mean, well, when you provide something, they say, you got to be doing this for something. You can't just be doing this for no reason. You got to be, you know, what's the reason? You know, what do you want to give me a hug for? You know, so that's the whole concept. And that's where the creative marketing comes from, not from what I'm doing, but from what the projects, my project neo.org is doing and from what Clixbiz is providing. All I'm doing is just adding a little bit of inspiration and motivation to try to push someone to say, hey, listen, try it out and see for yourself. And that's pretty much it. I mean, the product speaks for itself. You know, you put a Lexus out there, people, the first thing they do, they jump in the car. They want to feel what Lexus feels like. They may not even never drove a Lexus, but they see the commercial, man. They say, hey, man, this, they'll tell you about the feel of the car, and they've never experienced the car at all, but they'll work. They'll work and work towards saving, towards paying those car notes and finance the bill towards getting them a Lexus. So all I was saying in terms of Clixbiz and myproject.neo is that it doesn't cost a dime for the Clixbiz.com. And most of the time, the people that can spend the $8, it is worth it because of the simple fact that it doesn't – most of the time we spend $8 during the week, during the time period, potato chips, juice, drinks. We spend a dollar here, snacks. People got sweet tooths. People are doing things that they may have cigarette habits. They may have things that they have their personal indulgences, and those, and whether they realize it or not, they can actually push a dollar, 50 cents, 25 cents to the side a day, and that'll add up to the $8. So I wanted to continue to tell the listeners out there is that when you sign up on my page, Big Shy Reed, that's my page. So when I befriend somebody, you're my friend. So you're subjected to all of the – that's right. That's right. That's right. I just want to let – because I'm not – when I go to someone else's page and I ask them to befriend me, I have to go according to the house rules that's set by that. But don't be upset with me. Be upset with Facebook because they use their algorithm to match up people that they feel according to geographic location and according to age groups and all of that. But when anyone is on my page, you're on my page. So I just want everyone who's listening, Big Shot Reed, that's my page. And when the algorithms are set to say that you want to become a friend, be aware that you will get all of the advertisements pertaining to My Project Neo, Clixbiz, Blog Talk Radio, Neo Nations at 347-857-1311. You will get those, and you will get more, such as CirculatingBlockDollars.com. So expect to get those. If you don't want that done, then block me.
get off my page, but I invite you all. Everyone is welcome to my page. And believe me, I got other people out there that are friends of friends of friends of friends. So they'll be hitting other people's pages that indirectly with the same mindset, because a mindset is a terrible thing to waste. And so everyone progresses with the same mindset. Everyone that I'm around, we have the same mindset to help. Help communities grow, help the individual grow and develop, and we're all about the same thing, and we're knocking out those challenges of the dead mind state, and we're bringing in a new and improved reformed. We're reforming.
Amen.
And rebuilding and reshaping and remolding, and we're going to ask in Jesus' name to allow us to carry out the vision to help people according to His will and purpose, you know, for our lives. But in the aspect of using us as a vessel. But I just say, when you're on my page, just expect, watch out, because I'm going to be saying my project, neo.org, and I'm going to be talking about clicksters.com, clicksters/31880. So, yes, and that's what I have to say.
And Shalik, I want you not to forget to drop by my page, Rel Ron Robinson, and befriend me. So we can hang out.
Wait. Hold on.
Well, Bob, until he come back, it's just a great night, people. We're waiting for Reverend Curtis Blow Walker. You know Curtis Blow. These are the breaks. And he's going to come on and talk about the passing of our good brother, beloved, Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Felder, such a wonderful young man in the ministry and community and family. And, you know, he just, his church family, his family, he is just was an amazing young man. And he passed away, and there's a GoFundMe page on his behalf set up by Reverend Curtis Blow Walker. And he's going to come on. I know he's out in the fair tonight out in California. And, you know, he's going to, in between the affair, he's going to take a break and come in and say something wonderful about our brother, Reverend Emmanuel, Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Felder, young brother in the ministry, hard worker, good family man, good church family man as well. And, you know, he was just a wonderful human being. And we want to give homage to him. And we also want to support his GoFundMe page and in reference supporting his children as well, and his family, his wife. And, you know, we're going forward with that as well. And we look forward to having our Reverend Curtis Blow Walker come on tonight with us. You see that? Shalik knows him. If Shalik knows him, you know he got to be bad.
That's right. Yo, listen, man. Every time, I don't know why I get so excited. I'm sorry, Dr. Robinson.
Listen, Curtis, we love your excitement, brother.
Yo, man, listen, that man is right now, if anybody is listening, I want all of the hip-hop generation to realize that he was one of the innovators. He was one of the first rappers who basically made hip-hop. He was the one who sacrificed and made hip-hop the career. He is the one who opened up the doors and made the Jay-Z, who made the Pop Smokes. It was him who opened up the door, who created the opportunity, who was a part of the opportunity when no one thought that hip-hop would make it this far. You dig what I'm saying? And those are the words of Biggie. But those are the things that Biggie gives credit to. You know, the hard. Who had ever thought hip-hop would take it this far? You know, and when you think about that, it reminds me of Curtis Blow, because Curtis Blow contributed the platform in which hip hop artists today are getting recognized, and it's because of the art form that, you know, Curtis Blow contributed to. He's one of the innovators. Proud to hear about him every time I hear his name, and I just want to give him a shout out, man. I thank God for him, man. And I hear his son is in the game too. I heard his son got some nice music. Did you hear any of the tracks on that?
Yeah, very, very, very creative. And young man, his son, very creative, very homage. You know, I had the opportunity, brother, my pastor, Dr. Burkett, We have a church, yeah. a Bronx Church Day, and we have it on the Bronx Supreme Court steps. And Curtis came out, man, full force with all the brothers from the Boogie Down Productions. I mean, all of the old heads, but y'all young people say old heads from the hip-hop community. Man, we had everybody out there. We had, Salt and Pepper. We had, oh, my God. I'm just talking about LL Cool J. We had all the what's the brother? Rob B. Is it Rob B.?
Rob Bates. You're talking about Rob Bates. I'm Rob Bates.
Yeah, I came to the mic and I said it before. Never left the mic. Oh, yeah, man. We had a
wonderful
time.
Nah, you're talking about Rakim and Eric B. Oh, yeah.
Rakim and Eric B. Right, correct. Yeah. Correct. I can't remember. I don't know all these people.
Fighting, I can't even run. I can't hold back. Looking for the rhyme, picking off my
throat. There you go.
Oh, my throat. That's right. All right.
We had him out there. We had the brother Maze play, and we had P. Diddy. We had, you know, Fat Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, man, we had them out. You talking about the names, man, the names in hip hop. They were out there in full force. It was a Sunday, man. We were doing a spiritual movement, man, with the hip hop community, and everybody had a rap. Gospel rap to say. Everybody has something to say in the gospel rap era. So,
right.
You know, it was fantastic. And, you know, shout out to my brother. You know, he's younger than me, but shout out to my brother, Curtis Blow Walker, Reverend Curtis Blow Walker. Man, he just pulled them together, man. He made the call, and everybody named Mama came out. Like you said, man, you know, he's the first originally signed artist to a major label. You know, in America.
That's right.
And, you know, he's just a wonderful brother, man. Very humble brother. Just a wonderful person. And he came out and he worked with our ministry. Got some young brothers hooked up to certain people that want to get into the industry. And, you know, he did a wonderful job. So it was a fantastic thing. I want to go right now to the man himself, because you talked about a reparation program, Neo Nation. And I want to bring in Dr. James W. Winborn. Give him a nice hand.
Yeah. Good morning. We're getting
a little slow there. I think Shalit took all the spice out of them.
What happened?
I say Shalit took all the spice out the people. They just love Shalit so much. They clapped about 10 times for him. So when you came on, they like, well, let me see how I can get my hands together.
Listen.
Yeah,
like we don't have that much energy left for the old man, but I get it. I appreciate whatever they got for me. I take it. I'm grateful. How's everybody doing?
Man, we hanging in.
Good. Great. Yeah. So I had called it earlier, but there's something going on at the corner of where I live that have every fire department, every ambulance, and look like every police car in Brooklyn out to the corner. So it was very disturbing. So I said, well, let me hang up so everybody don't know I live in the middle of Beirut. So it's calmed down a bit, but something's going on. I see they got these.
Well, brother, you know when I grew up
there,
in Harlem back in the days, you know how that was. Back in the days, Harlem, what was going down, man, the 60s, the 70s, you know, Black Panthers, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which I was,
right.
You know, well, you never stopped being a Black Panther. I guess I was, but I still am. You know, you never stop. It's always in you. But, man, you know, hey, man, that's the life of New York City, you know? And I know Brother Shalit can relate, you know, up in the Boogie Down, you know, a lot of action, you know?
A lot of action.
Yeah,
well, listen,
we
you know, we working it out, right? But so, you know, just quickly about the reparations program, you know, we've been excited and we've been talking about it for a long time. And I feel like God has blessed us to have a wealth mechanism put in place that we control for our people. And we have a machine now that will help us not just talk about it, millions and millions of black people in the Negro people in the United States talk about, and we go over our condition here and what's going on. It is unfortunate that as I look at what's going on now, when I look at the state of the country, when I look at the state of our politics, the state of our laws, we are in a point of regression. I don't care how they try to paint it as progression. We're in a point of regression because of white supremacy has raised its head and almost, the way I see it, you know, given it their last stand. And I said all of that to say that we have something now that we don't have to just talk about the situation. We have a mechanism now that allow us to do something about the situation. And that's a beautiful thing because there's not a whole lot that we have to do to change our circumstances. It's just how we doing it. You know, my mother used to tell me, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I submit to you tonight that God has blessed us with a mechanism that will allow us to create wealth for as many of our people that decide to donate and register and put money into the treasury. That's going to allow us to circulate that funds back out to all of those people that helped us. And in the meantime, go out and complete acts of reparation to help someone else. We have a beautiful system. It's historic. You want to be a part of it. Now, we just turned the machine on, and we're going through now, we're working out the nooks and crannies of it, and we're seeing what it'll do, what it don't do, but so far, it is getting a 98, okay? We got one or two things that it haven't done yet, and not that it can't do. We haven't gotten to that point where we see what the system is going to do when we've gotten to that point. But we've still got one or two I's that we need to cross. One or two I's that we need to dot and T's that we have to cross. But we're already on our way. So we encourage everyone. We want you to become one of our activists. Okay? Our activists will be paid in this system to do acts of reparation. And we're going to allow you to refer and bring on other activists into the system that when they get paid, you will get paid also. All right? And likewise, the system will allow us to continue to circulate money, continue to circulate funds, and continue to circulate funds all the way around and create wealth, little pieces at a time, and then little bigger pieces and bigger pieces and bigger pieces and bigger pieces based on a mathematical algorithm. You do not want to miss this. You want to be a part of this. I don't know how to sell, so I'm not a salesman. But what I'm telling you is if you want to change your life, we have something now that allow us to be a doer of the word. All right? And what are we doing in that word? We are going out helping our brothers. The scripture says, am I my brother keeper? Yes, I am. And if we've never known before, we ought to realize now that we're all in this together. And we can all beat this thing together. We've learned some tricks. We've learned some financial tricks. We've learned some economical tricks. We've learned... We understand the rule of 72 now. We understand compounding interest now. We know how to make this thing work so that we can change our lives. We can start having those conversations on a regular basis in our homes and over the kitchen, the dining room table, and over dinner about wealth and generational wealth. Not only wealth for ourselves, but generational wealth till our great grandkids are saying, we're living this way today. Because of a decision that great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, great-great-great-grandmommy made years ago back in 2021. and look what it's done for us. And they were smart enough to be on the cusp of something that was new, innovative, and different, and was going against the economic system of that time. Because the economic system of our time now, this capitalism is not working for us. Trickle-down economics is not working for us. It never make it to us. So we got to find a way that we can get the money and let it build up, because it don't never make it down. But we got a way to circulate it amongst ourselves and take care of ourselves and build amongst ourselves and build businesses amongst ourselves. And this is a Friday. And so we went to Black Business Billionaires Network. All right. So what we want, if you're a business and you are engaged in these programs, we need black businesses to sign up also in something that we call the Black List, where we have all black owned companies that are participating in our reparation program. You want your company to be a part of that, because your company will be one of those that's helping us usher in this new historic movement. So you want to be a part of that. You want your company to be a part of that. So we encourage everyone. We encourage everyone, all right, to go sign up. Get in where you fit in, starting at $8. $8 you can sign up, $20, $40, $80, $160, $320. Anywhere in there you want to sign up and be a part, contribute into the treasury at that amount, and from that point on is where you continue to grow. It's a great, great, great program. So listen, I tell everybody, cut it short, go by the website, all right? It's www.myprojectneo.org, www.myprojectneo.org, www.myprojectneo.org. Or give us a call at 1-888-UNN-CASH. All right, UNN-CASH, United Negro Nation Cash. 1-888-UNN-CASH. That's what we need to do, Dr. Robinson, Brother Shalik. We need to start getting everybody on this. We need to start getting everybody in this, our mothers, our family, our brothers, our cousins. And you need to get in and then get back in, because it's all about circulation. And that's the other thing. Once you get in, it's a one-time sign up. But you can get in more than once, and you can get in on more than one level.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So
that's right.
We want to do this. And so as we are entertaining other income streams, as we're entertaining and what we're doing with Ms. Owens, and as we're entertaining with what we're doing with Legal Shield and with this and with that, or with whatever those other goodies that Professor Hall presents to us.
That's
I see
right.
him on the line. Let's not forget this. This is essential. So we can do all that other stuff. Don't forget, we need to do this, because this is not a job. What we're talking about right now is not about a job. Okay, this is not about income. This is about a movement. This is about changing our people's lives. This is about creating millionaires amongst our people, and we did it our own damn self without asking anybody for a dime, without they cheese or they stimulus.
Amen.
Y'all get them stimulus, that $1,400
right.
not going to last for so but long. By the time y'all get finished buying sneakers, okay, buying a new phone, you have to give your mother some money, you got to give your baby mama some money, your $1,400 going to be gone. And that will be a shame. So you should be able to be good stewards of money. And as we said, you can get in for as small as $8. Now, I always hear everybody talk about what you can do with $8, this, that, and other. This costs $8, that costs $8. Listen, it is unfortunate, and it is a shame, that when I go to Starbucks, I'll buy one coffee. There's one special Venti white mocha that I like. cost almost $7. A cup of coffee. I'm embarrassed that I like this coffee this so much that I give these people this amount of money. I'm like, this is such a waste. I could sign somebody up in the program for this cup of coffee. For the price of a cup of coffee in Starbucks, you could be on your way to financial independence. How about that?
I don't know. And listen, check this out. I don't know a number, and Shalik can tell me about this because he's younger than me because, you know, he know about the fast food. But I don't know a number in Wendy's. I don't know a number in McDonald's, Burger King, or Taco Bell. I don't know what one of them numbers you can get on top of that menu that's under $8. I don't know one. So y'all know.
That's right.
Y'all put money into Wendy's and Taco Bell and McDonald's and Burger King and My King and Your King.
Because, listen, even the dollar menu going to cost you about $3. So,
and look, when they get through with the french fries and the burger and they're going to get a little apple pie and ice cream, it's about $9, man. I'm telling you, you know, if you got some kids with you, y'all with them kids, y'all know y'all going to pay $100. Y'all got little Mookie. Little Mookie can eat about two burgers by himself, you know.
Right.
And listen,
right.
And he going to want more, too. He want that shake. He want that sweet stuff. I'm going to make McDonald's. You know how that thing go. And don't tell him no. Don't tell him or her no. I'm going to McDonald's. They want that McDonald's, and they're going to make sure that they get McDonald's. So you right about
that. Wow, man, I'm telling you, it's serious. It's serious, man. And everybody got kids and other travels. Y'all know every time that sign pop up on the highway, the kid's asking you to stop. And
listen.
You can't go for that. You know what I'm saying?
If you smart, you'll be signing up yourself, your husband, your wife, the kids, your uncle, your aunt, your grandmama, the pastor, the deacon, the mailman, the milkman. There's still milkmen? If there's still milkmen, they need to sign up.
In some states, down south.
In some states, all right. Everybody need to be a part of this national treasury, partaking in this national treasury, this national circulation amongst black and Negro people. This is the time to do it. As we see things that are going on, we need to realize that if we do not come together right now, we are in a serious state. Let me tell you what happened today. Today I saw on the news where three white policemen in Georgia arrested a congresswoman inside of the Capitol because she was knocking on the door where the governor was.
What?
Yes.
That's true. That's
what
true.
What state was that?
In Georgia.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And you know, right?
You got
to
wow, man, that's crazy.
Now listen, and you said something too, Dr. Robinson, some time ago, and I thought that was crazy, and I wouldn't comment on it because I just thought it was so crazy, and I hadn't verified, and I'm like, okay, well, if it ain't true, then it just started wrong. I found out that it was true. In Arkansas, they passed a law that if you can get arrested for talking smart to the policeman.
Right. Yep. That's right. That's right.
You got to be out of your goddamn mind. Are they dictators now? They are identifying themselves and letting you know we are the oppressors. We are the force. You will do what we tell you to do. We don't have to explain to you why we pulled you over. We don't have to tell you what offense.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we'll whip your ass, and if you try to protect yourself, we'll say you resisted.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
This is where we at. That's why I thank God.
I'm glad you said that, brother. I'm glad you said that. I want to let the people know the shout out to who the congressman of New York, forgot his name, but qualified immunity in New York is gone. Immunity in New York, police department, Supreme Court,
gone.
State Court,
yes,
is gone. Qualified immunity person meant that if a cop beat the hell out of you and you wanted to file charges, Supreme Court, human rights violation, civil rights violation, if you want to do a constitutional violation, if you want to do a civil suit, you couldn't do it under that qualified immunity. But they, the other day last week, they got that the hell out of New York. That qualified immunity is out, and I hope New York is usually a trendsetter for other states, and I hope the whole damn country get rid of qualified immunity. That's why cops didn't give a damn what they did, because on that qualified immunity, it's just like you could not file charges against them, and you can go to appeals court, you get nothing. But now in New York, qualified immunity is gone. Let the engine start. Whoever, because New York got a tremendous amount of violations. I even know personally.
Right.
You can watch. I can tell you under Patton, it was a particular qualifying decision to get to the next level if you got a nigger or a spit. That's what they were saying. Okay. And there was a story
and
on Channel 13 that showed you that they were particularly pinpointing African American and Hispanic brothers in New York. It was terrible. Yeah. Go right ahead.
No, I'm saying they've been doing this. Our police force, as we have it today, is a progenitor. Okay, its progenitor was slave catchers. You understand? Was the beginning
Correct.
Of the policing in America. Those individuals that was hired to chase Negroes. That has not changed. That is still the objective. Because in their
Amen.
Mind, protect and serve is protect and serve white people from Negroes.
Exactly.
So it hasn't changed. The sad part about it is that our brothers and sisters that are on these police forces operating along with the oppressors for the sake of a check.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, where there are
Amen.
So many other ways.
And you know something, brother?
To support
correctional
your
facility,
you know,
correctional officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the so-called. I got a cousin; he's a correctional officer. My brother just retired 32 years in the police department. Let me tell you something. They require that you join the Guardians. You join these black fraternities or whatever organizations in the police department and corrections. Corrections, brother that runs correction in New York City right now. I know the brother. Muslim brother, but I'm telling him, man, I said, you do not understand what you're doing, who you're working for, and the mentality that they give you, you know, because to him, everybody that walks in them doors is just strictly wrong, not understanding how many brothers and sisters, if you look at it on a satirical sense, we're all political prisoners because of the way it's conjectified against us. Statistics by the FBI says that every black man, don't matter if he walk on the water like Peter, is going to end up having some kind of confrontation, some interaction with the police department, going to end up in a court or a jail.
Right.
Everybody.
Now, there's a reason for that, though. It is by design, and I want people to understand. It's not by osmosis. It's not that black people are criminal. It's that black people have been criminalized, and they criminalize black people for money because – all code statutes and acts have a dollar value attached to them, and they need to get this money in so that they can pay their part of the taxes. Okay? We need to understand how this thing works, these fees and stuff are attached to your birth certificate. These fees and things are attached to your straw man. They are designed to keep you in debt.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the truth. Incredible. That's the truth.
So we've gone from being enslaved on the plantation to being enslaved in the penitentiary, and those of us that are not in the penitentiary are held in bondage by debt. It's all
Amen.
By design. They know exactly
Amen.
What they're doing. In a capitalist
exactly.
society, in order for capitalism to work, you must have a winner and a loser.
Exactly.
That's why
exactly.
all of the money goes up to the top. That's why in our public school systems, they do not teach our children to do anything other than to be laborers, to put them back into the labor force so they can continue making money for those that's up at the top.
Exactly, exactly. And you watch, and I tell people, watch out for your children, because at a certain, back when I was growing up, and you know this, Dr. Winborn, and you probably know this too as well, Shalique, when you were
young
listening. And you did certain things, it was considered juvenile behavior.
Right.
Being a juvenile, behaving, or, you know, being, you know, just doing some little misfit thing, and they treated it in that sense. Now,
right.
white children, if you watch the court system, and I saw this with my youngest son, but my son before my youngest one, when he went to court, his juvenile behavior, I mean, that's all it was, him just being stupid, okay, in school. But now when you do something in school at that time, around the late 80s to the early 90s, they started making you go to court with your children. The
right.
white children was considered, their behavior was considered juvenile behavior, because I asked the question to the teachers, why they're not going into court systems? Why my child have to go to a court system and the other children are not? And my child is a child, and same thing, juvenile behavior. But nevertheless, I saw this continuously. I saw this when I went into the court system as a professional witness, as a psychologist, and then as a state chaplain. And I saw that Black children had to get 10, 15, 20 people to come to their aid to try to explain that he's not a bad kid, and the white kid would just leave with a pat on the hand, no matter if he drove a car, hit people, and did all kind of crazy stuff. You understand what I'm saying? So that showed me that they are criminalizing our children, and a lot of people that end up in
you
a criminal situation.
You know they just arrested a 9-year-old boy? No, I'm sorry, 6.
Wow.
For picking a flower. At the bus stop.
That's crazy.
He picked the flower. They arrested the boy, put him in handcuffs, took him to jail. And while
that,
he
that's
was
criminal-
in court,
right.
you know what they had to do? They had to give him a coloring book and crayon to keep him preoccupied while they trying to submit a sentence on him for his criminal behavior.
That's what I'm saying. That child, whether he's writing in that, and you know, coloring in that coloring book, maybe because children have a attention span is very short, but the dramatic experience is still affecting him psychologically, and that's
absolutely.
Going to carry him. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's going to carry him to his early ages, and then when he
right.
does something vile, you know, people are not going to trace it back. To that experience that he had. They're not going to – with a white boy now, that the white boy that walked into the spa shooting everybody, or he had a bad day, or he had a sex drive or whatever that craziness is, they all try to find excuses for their people.
Always. Now, listen, had that been a black person, right, they'd have had all his social media posts, everything he ever put on Facebook. They'd have had pictures of him in high school when he got suspended. You understand what I'm saying? They'd have
right.
been showing pictures of him – smoking weed or holding money or something like that to continue
right.
the defamation of the black
exactly.
male.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? This is what the media does. They continue to do it. They do it on a regular basis. They've been doing it so long, they subconsciously do it. A white person could look at all the mass shootings. All of them, those mass shooters, was all white. And they're
exactly.
all still alive.
Right. Right.
But Trayvon
right.
Martin is dead. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Castile is dead. Mike Brown is dead.
Right, right. Brother on the highway with a broken car looking for help. Cop just shot him in the head for nothing, you know, for nothing. Because she said somebody in the helicopter said that looked like a mean mother F to me, and she got nervous. And the Supreme Court allowed that defense. They allowed that to be an excuse. And that's what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. It's time for us to wake up, and it's time for us to get our children out of this system. And I'm not saying to stop your kids from going to school or nothing like that, but I'm trying to say educate your kids when they're home. Talk to your kids. Pray for your kids. Feed your kids good information. Even if your child got a little badness in them, tell them they're good. Keep feeding them positive information. You know what I'm saying? It's very necessary because the negative is already out there for a child. That young boy, that is so traumatic and devastating that he had to go through that, and all they doing is starting him in the road to criminalize, to make him a criminal. They're trying to build psychological. Children inherit things different than adults. Even though they act like they're cutting that little book and they're not paying no attention, but psychologically, subconsciously, that stuff is in their mind. And we have to be sure that we make sure that our children are not devastated by this demonic environment that we're in, because anybody can hurt a child.
Listen,
as far as I'm concerned, you ain't nothing.
We have already, our young people today, have already been traumatized, okay? I hear the young men today talking about prison as if it's a rite of passage. And just something that you have to do that you're supposed to do before you become an adult. I hear them talk about prison like they're looking forward to it, okay? There's an understanding, there's an unspoken understanding that it's 9 out of 10 inevitable. And if I don't go, it's because somehow or another I got away. You understand? Because that's the system. They understand that's the system. They was born into the industrial prison complex where the prison system is privately or publicly owned and traded on the market, okay, and privately owned and traded on the market. And so when you have these institutions like that, that they have stockholders, they're responsible to their stockholders. So what that means, they got to show profit. And so how do they show profit? They have to have inventory. Well, how do they have inventory? What is their inventory? Their inventory is black males, predominantly. Okay,
and
Big Mac. They got some other, you know, you got some fries, and you got some this, that, and other. But the main inventory is black.
Well, of course,
male.
Of course, of course. And see, the thing about it is, a lot of people not hip enough to understand psychosocialization. Society can drive you to something, and you will say, you know what? I did this myself. I did this, but you don't know the force behind me subconsciously that driving you to that point. You can drive a society. America could drive a person to a positive end. They could put you in a, you look at the white kids. I mean, even though that I'm not saying that they're criminal. They just criminal just to be criminal, because I've hang out with white kids and they just do stuff just for the hell to do it because they're so spoiled and they know ain't nothing gonna happen to them. They told me, they said, Ron, I can do this and this. Watch what I do. And when the cops come, watch what I tell them. And the cops will come and they will let them, they'll just keep on going. I had a white boy in the car with me. He was drunk as hell. And when the cops stopped me, he was like, what the fuck? Why y'all come here? What the? You got no rights to talk. I ain't talking to you. And he was going on like a wild man. They came over to me, get mad at me because of what he doing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, he said, he's over there. If y'all mad, you better go over there. But I'm just saying, you think where I'm coming from? But that's the way. I'm telling you, it's serious. It's so serious.
It's dead serious.
I was watching
the show Cops, and on the show they had somebody called in that there was a car across the street, and some young men were sitting in the car smoking weed, and the cops came up, and when they pulled up to the car, there was a black guy and a white guy, and the cops pulled up, and the black guy said, "We weren't doing nothing. And then the cop said, well, the car smelled like weed. The white boy said, that's because we were smoking. Right? Because we were smoking. He was like, it's all gone now. You're too late. The law is projection. So-and-so, don't get the so-and-so out of here. You know what I mean? The black boy, like, what? Are you what? What? So, of course, the black kid got arrested. Right? Why'd he get arrested? Because he had a warrant. See, that's the trick. He had a warrant. You know, they don't wrote a ticket or did something. He's supposed to go to court. He didn't go to court. They put a bench warrant on. So now he got a warrant. He get locked up. And the white boy, ain't nothing happening to him. Nothing. And he telling the cops, you smoking. What? Like, what's the problem? I know you smoke weed, right. So what?
Right.
Do you find any weed? You see any weed? Get out my face. You know?
You know, grandfather might be a judge, father might be a district attorney, you know, these kids.
Right, because they are involved in that system. And for the most part, we haven't been involved in the system. Black people, the last thing they want to do is go to court.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Exactly.
That's a problem for us.
Exactly. They're going to get our money. They're going to get your money. You know what I'm saying? I've been stopped.
Only bad things seem that, you know, we got it out. Only bad things happen in court, and we go to court. You understand? We you know, ain't a whole lot of us don't have uncles as judges that's on the bench, and, you know,
even if you got that, let me tell you something what I found out. Because I have a cousin who's a federal judge in Manhattan. But even with that, even with calling him, like, he's damn scared to stick up for me. I'm telling you, my brother is a police. We driving up to the damn highway to the toll, and I say, I'm not going across that toll. Because you end up in Long Island, you're going to have to drive way to hell and try to turn to come back. No, I want to turn around right now. So I say, you the police, all we got to do is stop here, and you call them up, flash them, and tell them to stop the traffic, turn us around. He said, oh, shit, no, I ain't going through all this. I said, nah, now I'm a state chaplain. So I stopped because I said, I'm not going to pay a toll and go way back and all that crap. I'm not going there. This is not the night for me. I'm tired. I stopped the whole thing. The cop came back to me. I said, listen, I'm a state chaplain. I got a funeral to do, and I need to turn around because I'm going to end up going somewhere else, and I'm going to waste an hour and a half. I need you to stop the traffic and turn me around. Cops stop everything. They got like 10 cops to come out and stand up in the front. They escorted me. They gave me an escort to, you know, to wherever I told them I was supposed to go, and then they drove off, but they gave me an escort back in front of me, okay? You know, I'm telling my brother, listen, you got to have a little faith, baby, you know? But I'm telling you, when you even have family in those positions, they even been so psychologically trained that they feel, oh, I can't get involved, you know, with something like that. You understand what I'm saying? It's the psychology of it all. But the understanding that this is how the system is matriculated all day long. My white friend, who's a district attorney, all day long, he got a cousin stole this. He goes and, you know, my cousin stole something. He did something bad, but I'm going to talk to the other DA. And, oh, yeah, that's my cousin, da-da-da-da. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll work it out. Never have to appear to the judge. Judge, Your Honor, case such against such and such a person. We have settled that with the state and the people, and it's over. The judge never even called the case up. They weren't coming from? That's what they do all day long. They advocate for their people. You dig where I'm coming from, but our people in those positions, I don't know if they're scared to lose their job or whatever the deal is, but there is a tremendous amount of pressure on a black person with any capacity. When you're in any kind of level, you know, there's a strain on you mentally that tells you if you do A, B, C, and D, you're going to end up losing your job or end up in some trouble or whatever the deal that people don't want to get into because they want to have spotless career. You know, I ain't never did nothing. You know, I graduated from certain things, you know. And after my brother retired, he's like, you know what? Such a cousin called me, her son is over here, I can't get involved in all of that. And I'm like, you know, what's up with that? You know what I'm saying? What was the purpose of you going through all this for what? You know? But that's a lot of the feelings. And they know that. They know they put that intensity in there. They do it intentionally. They make you fear them.
You know what's crazy? Can I just get, I just want to, I'm glad you mentioned that because honestly speaking, this is real talk. I've never saw but like this. Everything that you're saying so far is so true, right? Because these people put their people in positions so they can help their people out when it comes to going in front of a judge, getting
Thank
incarcerated.
You.
They make sure that they say, they make sure the first thing they surround themselves around is the people that they know that if their son is or their daughters are doing something, they say, who do you know? Who do you know that's the district attorney? Who do you know that's the judge? Who do you know that's the police chief or the police officer? So they make sure, and they have no qualms about fixing it because they know that they understand the power of a favor. A favor for a favor. You do this for me, I do that for you. And so it's sad that they understand the power of community and to have our people so not involved in the system where we're able to share. And it's crazy because when I look at it, for the ones that are, see, because I don't want to make a general statement, because there are brothers that's incarcerated that are facilitators, rehabilitative coordinators for programs that run the prison that they are looked up to. And so when people are coming in, when young people are coming into these environments, you do have members of communities and organizations who start programs. Jaquan is a great example of one of them. But also, there are many others who are trying to challenge the stigma and the stereotype and reform and transform the way individuals are subjected to these cruel and unusual punishments, as I would say. But yes, going back to what I was saying, they understand the power of community, and we need to refocus our stance on exactly what you said. When you ask them the question of, well, why did you do this in the first place? That's the difference between, you know, well, I guess it was to him, it clearly chose that it was just a job to him. He was detached from the community aspect. You know, it's sad when a person that can be authoritative figure in the community that he lives in or she lives in and to be so detached from the members of the community to not want to address social issues of injustice and not even know the members of their community to the degree where they say, damn, Ms. So-and-so, do you need any letters of support for your son? Do you need any programs for your son to help him get rehabilitated? Is there any services? And it's sad because these people, when we're talking about black and white, you have to keep it real. And on the aspect of black and white, white people who are in these positions, they make sure that there are programs that are in place and that they put their people in place because they understand the power of a favor and they understand how politics works and they understand what community means. Community definitely entails when a person can be able to say, hey, man, you know, I got somebody here that can get me over here. I got somebody, you know, so that's powerful. But I just wanted to thank you for sharing that with me.
Dr. But you know something, and the sad thing about it, brother, I get help from white judges on behalf of my son. I got help from white district attorneys that know me on a personal level. They don't know me that well. I'm not their good friend to go golfing and the, like, but they know me like lunch. They know me from other people. They know me from charity events. They help my kids. You know what I'm saying? They stood up for me. And I know this for a fact. And no black judge, no black district attorney, no black police officer can tell me different because I've known them personally. I know black judges that help white people kids. I know black police officers, lieutenants, district attorneys that help white people kids, okay? I know the prosecutors, black prosecutors help white people kids, but they will not help even their own family. It's crazy.
Well, you know what's crazy? Because it's funny that you just mentioned that you're a chaplain, and I'm not going to say that they do it because it's like this. On a human level, people definitely respect
how people carry themselves, and I guess what they call in the legal terms when I was in the system, they saying that, and legally it's written that there might be a reversible issue to let thousands of people go, but legally it states that they cannot legally open up what they call, quote unquote, the floodgates. And that means that when there is an issue that's involved with a reversal, and this is just tying into the connection of status in society, because status is respected in all societies. And so I only just say, when they don't, so just dealing with you and maybe a few, it doesn't open up the floodgates, it does no harm, because you're a powerful figure in the aspect of this. They know your power because they know legally someone that they can refer to is going to say, hey, man, I know this guy. He's a chaplain. They're like, do you know how powerful that man is? He's like, yeah. No, tell me. So, well, do you know that legally there's only two people that can get people out of prison, with especially with life? And that's who? And here I ask the question, who? That's the district attorney. The Supreme Court is one of those three. Supreme Court judges, the district attorney, and the chaplain. A New York State chaplain is the only one who can actually vouch and get a person who vouch for a person's rehabilitation in terms of who's respected by law, and this is legally. They can say, hey, listen, boom, 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 he's met all the requirements. I've done an evaluation. I've went and spoke to him. I've made sure this, that, and third. And on my behalf, I'm signing out for him on that behalf. So I'm telling you, I'm not telling you figuratively. I'm telling you without saying how I know this. But yeah, I can't say I'm not saying it in terms of like a secret society, but I'm saying through my experience, I've witnessed this firsthand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
New York chapters are very powerful in the aspect that it's only three. They are the one in the three in that circle who has that power. So when you're being dealt with, you're being dealt with for who you are as a person, but you also being looked at under the microscope in terms of the power that you possess, because of the simple fact that your title says, got to keep an eye on it, out on this guy, because he has power. Now, whether a person realizes it or not, that's up to them, but they definitely say, okay, and then they say, how he carries himself. Is he cocky with it? Is he humble with it? No, he's not a problem. He's not, okay. How many of them, well, I don't know. I know one thing for sure. We have to be very mindful of the circle that he's in and how he's being treated and how he's being dealt with, and we'll deal with him in a manner that doesn't jeopardize their livelihood. So, yes, that's to be mindful of that. That is a very powerful position, my brother, and I commend you for even because
– Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know the level of power in terms of getting people out of jail and stuff of that nature, but as I witness for people and talk on their behalf, I know that they were released. Now, they never said to me, you know, okay, you got him off, but I know that a lot of young men and young women that I went on behalf of their family just to represent them and give them moral and, you know, and religious support, and some of them belong to the church, and, you know, they were released from the custody of the court. I know that has happened many a times. But I'm glad you told me that, because I didn't put that – when we went to classes for chaplain, they never told us all of that impact, you know what I'm saying? But I did notice that certain people was released from the custody of the court to me. I realized, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's such a necessity. My thing is that, you know, God looked beyond all of our faults and failures and discontentments, mistakes or whatever, and he saw our needs. And I took on that type of mentality, you know what I'm saying? I look beyond whatever the person did, whatever the situation is. And sometimes when you do jail ministry and you get to talk to brothers and sisters and you get to see what they've been seeing all their life, then you said, you know what? This person never had a break, you know? And with our people, like Dr. Wimborn was saying, it's like everything we do is wrong. We jaywalk is wrong. They want to put jaywalking now as a criminal act. Okay, they said if you jaywalking, the cops could stop you and find out what you're doing. You know, just like Dr. Wimborn said, the same thing in New York. If you talk loud to an officer and the officer feels threatened by his life, he can arrest you. He can handcuff you, take you downtown, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And these are the things that parents need to take a serious look at in terms of their children and how their children relate to the court system, the juvenile system, the school system, because schools start off with the expelling of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You watch kids that get high level of expended from school. That kid goes out of the school, and all day long he's walking around the block until it's time for him to go home. You know what I'm saying? And you watch
right.
kids that have high level of being expelled. The treatment of a child as expelled is criminal. The way they treat them children when they expel them is criminal. Okay? And so that child gets a feeling of distress, and he internalizes it because he don't want to tell his parents about it because he's scared he's going to get a beating or something. So it starts the thing of criminality. Like the brother came on the radio one time, and he said his mother and father were upper middle class. He never needed nothing. But a cat told him, say, listen, come here, take this bag down the street to Joe and keep this $50. And, you know, he, as a child, 10, 11 years old, you ain't thinking. So he take the $50, he take the bag down there, and then he try to buy all ice cream and cake he can so he can have no money when he go back home because he know his parents going to ask him where the money's from. But he took the change of it and put it in his pocket and kept it. And he said that was the first touch of his criminality, because after he got away with that, it's like, okay, let me carry a bag for 100. Let me carry a bag for 200. And he went from that little small thing to becoming in the criminal world because of that
right.
situation. The thing that made him continuous with it is because he was getting away with it. He kept it from his parents, and nobody knew nothing. He bought sneakers and kept them in a certain place. You know, he was doing
right.
stuff, and he was doing it undercover, and the fact that nobody knew and he was getting away with it, it continuously drove him into this lifestyle that he didn't understand
right.
what it was taking. You know,
right.
But
right. And I agree. But I also reflect. I have to also emphasize. And I'm glad that that man took responsibility for his action on a knowingly level to say this is where he feels like his life took a detour. But it goes back to what you're saying in the aspect of this. Many of the criminal lifestyles that we are influenced by has been rewritten in the aspect of people on higher ups who have created conditions, economic conditions, who have deprived the community from thriving, so that they can provide for themselves. So that same hustler is no different than the entrepreneur, the businessman. And a lot of people who are saying they might not like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. What's on the bottom is on the top. And to a large degree, because when you look at it, the only difference is that the person is legal. But they still have to find a sales pitch. They have to target marketing. And yes, the government does say that, hey, listen, we're legal. And all I'm saying is this. The ultimate point is that those influences from the hustler or the guy who was on that corner who gave him that $50, had he would have been in a suit, that he would have been provided with the economic flourishment, the resources to have access to. It's not that the individual, we are all educated. We are all have a genius quality. We all have greatness. But when we're put in situations beyond our control, where the economic scale tilts, where you don't have access to certain things, then now life is going to determine certain actions. And so, yeah, he didn't have to take the bag, and he didn't know what he was doing. And he said, yeah, I'm a man up, and say, yeah, when I found out later that, yo, hey, I got away with it. But then that man's story is telling you that, listen, my family couldn't afford it. My family, I live in a community where this is what I see. This is what's influencing me. And so I'm looking at it on a little level that, hey, man, it's just a little $50. I'm not engaging in anything. All I'm doing is just taking it down the street. But then at the same token, there's a higher level of concern here that affects all of our communities. And this is what the program, My Project NEO, is all about. It's retransforming the community in just the way developers have retransformed it in the form of gentrification or gentrifying the neighborhoods. It's the same principle,
because it's economic and community development here. And we have to tie that into the facts of the matter, and that when we can get involved with programs of economic development to produce that those type of changes, reforming and transforming the community, the community that's tied in with the individuals, then we can learn to understand that the routes and the directions in which we go in life can determine a different perspective on life, and that will determine a different destination, as opposed to other people who are on the higher ups and standing on the necks of the poor people, and they're creating the change and saying, you know what, his options are either death, incarceration, or if he feels like he got away with it, he may actually slip through the cracks. But there's a number system, there's a number game, there's a law of probability that plays in our neighborhood at a high rate. This is the reason why they call it a hostile environment. I know we don't have time to share on that, but we'll get to that. It's 8:53. I'm all hyped up.
I think that message that you just gave, brother, was deep. It was heavy, and it was straight up to the point. We only got a minute. I'm going to let Reverend Coach Morale come in and say hello. Coach Morale, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and you. I just want to thank you all for the work that you're doing, you know. I'm sorry I got, you know, time just went away, and I'm just like, oh, my God, it's almost 9 o'clock. But thank you for all that you do to serve our communities, you know, and just to take us to that billionaire mindset.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
But we appreciate you all the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. Yes. It's good to be, you know, appreciated and to be a part, you know, of Block Talk. I really appreciate it.
Okay. We want to thank Brother Shalik for that wonderful, wonderful, deep message, man. That was a deep message. And I'm going to let Dr. Winborn say something nice. And then thank you, Reverend Coach Morale, for coming on. Always a pleasure. And then we're gonna go on home. So Dr. Winborn, give us something intelligent in a second.
Listen, what I want to say that's intelligent is Coach Morale Brown. Thank you. I received your book today, and I was breezing through it. Thank you very much. We will see to
You're
it
welcome.
That we do what we need to do on our side to keep everything circulating. I appreciate that. And listen,
yes.
We just want to remind everybody that what we're doing right now, what we got going on is really serious, and everyone needs to be a part of this reparation program that is changing people's lives. We're happy about what we see. We're grateful for what has transpired, and, you know, as I said, it's what God has given us as far as this work is concerned and our economic development. Yes. And so we are just grateful to be a part. We want everybody to continue to tune in, continue to be lifted up and be encouraged. God bless everybody, and good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you. Good night.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. Never been held down before. I know you refuse to be you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.